happened with Lucy? Was he able to talk to Skull and Beth? Did he tell Briar how stupid and thoughtless it was for him to bring children in to see him? Did that entire club have no idea of the pain and misery Michael was living with? Did they not get that they were adding to it? I try to bite my lip and try to keep concentrating on nothing but Michael. This is important. In this story, there is something I really need to know. Do you still resent? Crap. I'm messing it up. I don't know how to ask what I want to know because I'm scared of the answer.
Do I resent Maggie?
He asks, showing me he understands. I hold my head down in shame. I hate that I asked him that, but at the same time, I need to know. Yes. I breathe the word quietly. So quiet you can barely hear it.
I can't lie, Beauty. I did. Then slowly Maggie became something else. She became Hope.
I look up at him then, waiting for him to explain, needing him to. Hope?
Before I met you, I told you the world had changed for me. I was being swallowed by the blackness inside of me. Somehow you, even against my will, managed to get under my skin. You taught me how to breathe, how to take in clean air. Holding you in my arms, hearing you laugh, sliding inside your body, I didn't feel the black as much anymore. I felt hope. I saw beauty. You gave that back to me, Hayden. That's why I call you Beauty, because you gave it to me again. When I didn't think I would ever see or feel it again, you gave me beauty.
He said so much for me to take in. Michael's words slide inside of me in a way I know I'll never be able to let it go. If I was smart, I would run away right now, push Michael away any way I can. He's injured deeply inside, and the damage is so intense, I'm not sure it can ever be repaired. I know, more than anyone, that life doesn't give you happy endings. Everything inside of me is screaming for me to run. Instead, I pick up one of the extra pillows, pull it into my lap, and reluctantly take my hands away from his.
Hayden,
he asks, and I can hear the concern and anxiousness in his voice. I keep my head down and close my eyes for a minute. I just need to give myself time to pull my reactions in.
Hayden,
he prompts again. I let out a large breath. My mind is a mess. My emotions are a bigger mess. My mind keeps repeating over and over, pull away, pull away. My heart is demanding something else entirely. I slide off the bed, clutching the pillow as if it was a lifeline. Finally, I bring my head up to look at him, and before I can stop them, words come out. Words that probably should never be spoken. Words that might prove my downfall. You can keep calling me Beauty, I tell him, completely giving in against my better judgment. I watch as shock streaks across his face as clear as day. He expected me to run. I expected me to run. Slowly, I watch as one by one the shadows of the memories he had been discussing begin to fade. It's like watching the sunset. Beautiful, poignant, and breathtaking.
So, I don't have to pay a fee this time,
he asks, and his eyes are sparkling. He looks younger like this. He's attractive. Even fascinating. Terrifying. He's terrifying. I toss the pillow at him and sigh. You can sleep on the floor tonight. That will be your fee.
The floor?
You said you can't rest in another room, so sleep on the floor, I mutter, blushing and trying to avoid his eyes.
And there's a bed here.
My bed.
It's a big bed, Hayden.
It's not that big, Michael, I tell him, shaking my head. He growls in complaint, but before he can try to talk me out of it, I escape to the bathroom and close the door on him. I lean against it, hoping I didn't just make a huge mistake. And being terrified that I did.
Chapter 16. Beast. "What is that?" Hayden demands when she comes out of the shower. This probably won't go easy, but nothing ventured, nothing gained at this point. "Pillows?" I tell her, trying to act like I have no idea why she's upset. I put my hands behind my head and wait. I'm also trying to act like my dick isn't pushing against the fabric of the gym pants I changed into. Lying here in Hayden's bed, her sheets heavy with the aroma of vanilla and sugar, smelling like her, has my balls so tight I could come at the slightest touch. "I know they're pillows, Michael. What I don't understand is why you have so many of them on my bed." "There's not a lot of them. I was only able to find 9.
9 is a lot of pillows, Michael. Wait, where are my pillowcases?"
Hayden is towel drying her hair, running the towel through her darkened tresses in a way that makes me wish it was my fingers. She's wearing a long nightshirt this time that comes way below the knee and is long-sleeved. It's a pale blue color with a giant bear in pajamas emblazoned on it. Underneath it says, "Dreamer." It's adorably cute and 100% Hayden. Jan would have never been caught dead in something like that. She had an entire closet full of expensive, lacy shit, and none of it was half as sexy as Hayden's nightshirt. Then again, it's all about the woman wearing it. "You said Stroker slept in that spare room," I shrug, distracted because I'm wishing her shirt was shorter.
"So?"
she asks, her brow furrowed in confusion. "The fabric stunk of his cologne. He's not getting in this bed, Hayden, in any way. I put them in the washer."
"He's not? You put them in?"
She shakes her head back and forth as if she can't believe it. Maybe I went overboard, but I don't give a fuck. I don't want that fucker here, not even his memory.
"You know you're certifiably insane, don't you?"
She grumbles, and in answer I grunt.
"Why are all the pillows on my bed?"
"Your floor is cold."
"What?"
"And hard."
"I don't think I'm following you."
"You want me to rest? I can't rest on the floor, and you're right. I am tired. So I came up with an alternate plan."
"An alternate plan?"
"I'll sleep here with you on the bed, but I won't touch you. Instead, we'll have a wall between us."
"A wall?"
she asks, and it might be wishful thinking, but I think I see a smile starting to form.
"Yeah. A wall of pillows?"
"That's the idea."
"If I wasn't so tired, I'd argue with you. But we have maybe an hour until daylight and I'm exhausted,"
she says, and the ghost of a smile is gone. Now, I see nothing but weariness. "Come sleep, beauty. I'll make sure you're safe."
"Michael, I'm not sure this is a good idea."
"I won't touch you. I promise all we'll do is sleep. You'll be safe on your side of the pillows," I assure her, carefully keeping on my side to disguise my rock-hard cock. If she saw that, she really would be worried.
"I'm going to have to buy more pillows tomorrow," she mutters under her breath, but it makes me smile.
Then she slides into her side of the bed, reaches over, and turns out the lamp. She turns over, giving me her back. I thought this would make me feel better, but right now it's just a reminder of what I used to have and pushed away. I let her see a glimpse of me earlier. She's still here, and unless I'm deceiving myself, she's not as closed off. Maybe she can handle all the twisted mess inside of me. For the first time in months, I'm hopeful. I roll over so my back is to her. Maybe if I don't see her, I might be able to resist touching her. Maybe.
"I don't think I like your game, Michael. You got your way all the way around. You were supposed to give me what I wanted, and I think you got what you wanted. Seems you still owe me."
"I think that's where you got it wrong, beauty."
"How's that? You're in my bed, and you're still calling me beauty."
"Yeah, but if I had my way, there would be no fucking pillows right now, Hayden. There would be you in my arms and me between your legs, buried inside of you." I've probably said too much. I need to rein it in, but I figure I might as well be honest with her. I hear her soft exhale of breath. I feel the bed move as she moves. Covers pull in her direction as she seems to burrow under them. I figure she's going to ignore what I said, and that's okay. For now.
"I'm pregnant, Michael. Extremely pregnant. I don't think that's possible right now,"
she whispers.
Trust me, Beauty, I'd find a way. I grin.
Good night, Michael.
Night, Hayden. I respond, and when I close my eyes, I'm still smiling.
Chapter 17. Hayden. I can't believe you haven't attacked that man yet. Girl, are you crazy? How long have you been without the D? Dee Dee asks. I swear, my manager and probably best friend in the world has sex on the brain. Not that I don't, since Michael has come back. We've been sleeping in the same bed now for a week. 7 long days. 7 long frustration-filled days. He's been true to his word, too. He hasn't touched me. And I kind of hate him for it. If he had been the one to initiate it, I wouldn't feel guilty. I could claim I got swept up in the moment, which is total bullshit and just me being a big chicken, but it's true. I don't want to talk about it, I grumble. But look at him out there, Hayden. Women are eye-fucking him like crazy, and yet he still sits and stares at the door waiting for you to come back through it. I sigh as I glance at the small two-way glass window that allows us to look out but prevents the customers from seeing in. She's right. Michael's intense stare is on the door, nowhere else. She's also right about that damn redhead in the store. She's pretending to look at cupcakes, and instead she keeps looking at Michael. He either doesn't notice or is just ignoring her. Either way, he's not giving her the time of day. I'm voting that he doesn't notice. He has some serious issues about his scars, which is crazy because he's beautiful. That's what most women notice. I will admit there have been a few that stare at his scars and curl their nose in distaste. My first instinct has always been to throat punch them, but I don't want to draw attention to it in case it bothered Michael. It's unbelievable that I'm trying to protect his feelings when I should be pushing him out of my life. Instead, I'm enjoying him back in my life, and if I was being brutally honest, I also love having him back in my bed. Even without the sex. I do miss the sex, though. A lot. And if I don't quit dreaming about it, Michael's going to know exactly how much. Let it go, Dee Dee. Don't you have more important things to worry about? Like the Eastside Elementary cupcake order, for example? Yes, boss, she answers, rolling her eyes. We're both smiling, and even when she's being annoying, I still love her. Hey, Hayden? Yeah? Since you're not claiming that man out there, it probably doesn't matter, but I think the redhead finally has his attention, she answers. I can't stop myself from jerking around to look. Sure enough, the redhead is standing by Michael's side. She's practically pushing her breasts into his face when he finally turns around to look at her. I growl, because even though I know it's not what I had planned, I find myself walking into the other room. I could lie and say I don't have a reason, but I know I do. It's to make sure that fake-boobed ginger stays away from my man. I let out a pent-up breath at that thought, because I realize what I just did. My man. You're a stupid, stupid girl, Hayden Graham.
You look so familiar. I've been staring at you, trying to place you. Finally, I thought, oh shoot, I'll just ask.
The overzealous redhead chirps out, and her voice is almost nasally and very annoying.
I don't think so.
Michael all but grunts, which makes me smile. I pretend to be busy collecting baking sheets and spare a glance over at him. He's looking at me, those dark eyes intense and heated enough that it causes goosebumps to rise on my flesh.
But a man like you? So virile and...
She pauses. In my head, I have to ask if this chick is for real. Virile?
And big?
She finishes, and she gasps the next word out like she's actually holding his damn cock. I might take my anger out on my baking pans by tossing them on the counter. They land. Loudly. The sound of them clanging together echoes through the small storefront, The woman jumps at the noise.
Goodness, she complains.
I raise my head up to look at her and Michael, and sure enough, her boobs are still in his face. She has her hand on her chest in mock surprise at the noise I made, but you would have to be stupid not to realize she was trying to draw his attention to her tits. How does one survive with that much silicone injected into their body? Sorry, I huff. There seems to be a pesky bug in here. It annoyed me, I grumble, turning to go in the back again. I've had about all of this I can stand. I stop short, though, when I hear it. Michael's laughter. And it's honestly the first time he's laughed this loudly, this fully since that day at the lake. I can hear joy in it. It's beautiful. It's amazing.
A bug? How disgusting. Maybe you and I should... Oh my God,
the redhead screeches.
What happened to your face?
She all but yells. And just like that, Michael's laughter stops. It stops, and his face closes up. Suddenly, I hate that redhead for entirely different reasons. I want to slap her. It's my first instinct. The only thing that stops me, and it barely does, is the fact that I'm heavily pregnant. Instead, I march over and push her away from Michael.
Get out,
I growl, and not quietly.
What? Why?
This is my bakery, and I don't want you here, so get out.
What is your problem?
My problem is that you were acting like a tramp and flirting with my man, and then...
Your man.
Your man!
Michael and the redhead say this together. I feel heat swamp me, but I don't give in to it.
Don't worry, honey, I'm not after him. Not after I got a good look at him. But if I wanted to, I could definitely take him from you. Here's some advice for you. If you want to keep a man, you should at least try and do something with your hair. Even if you do look like an elephant right now.
You bitch, I growl, and I want to go after her and deck her. Pregnant or not, I think with one good hit, she'd go down. I sure as hell am willing to try. Michael stops me, however. He grabs my hand and pulls me. I land awkwardly on his lap. His hand comes up under my hair and he holds my neck.
Your man,
he growls again. Michael, I start, and I'm beginning to fear my outburst because I can see the depth of the heat and emotion shining in his eyes. My brain is crying, retreat.
Your man, he growls. You claimed me, Hayden,
he says. His voice dark and stormy. The look of victory in his eyes is so intense, my heart begins slamming against my chest. He brings our heads slowly together, his forehead resting against mine, his hand tight on my neck in a possessive hold. I want to run away. I want to deny it. I want to hold him forever. I close my eyes and try to breathe through the panic. I claimed you, I whisper, more to myself than to him. My hands find his hair, which he's wearing down today, and I hold on to it even while moving to cradle the side of his face. I open my eyes slowly. I love you, Michael, I whisper, giving him words he might not want to hear, but the words that I can't contain, especially when I see the emotions on his face. He groans, and the vibration of it seems to quake through my body, leaving me hungry, needy for him, and wet. His lips come down on mine, rough, not gentle. He takes my mouth, his tongue thrusting inside my mouth to plunder and wage war, a war he's already won, a war I'm happy to surrender to. I'm so lost in the kiss that I don't even hear the woman leave. I hear nothing except the pounding of my own heart. I'm pretty sure I'm crying. I can feel the tears slide from my eyes, yet they're not tears of sadness. Not this time. All I feel is happiness, because after months of being alone, I finally feel like I'm whole again.
Chapter 18. Beast.
Damn, sunshine, I think you might get lucky tonight. Devil laughs, interrupting my kiss with Hayden.
She immediately stiffens in my arms and tries to pull away. I don't let her at first, needing just one more hit from her lips, one more chance to taste her. I soften the kiss, giving it to her gentle and sweet, nipping at her lips and sucking them into my mouth, teasing her with my tongue. Eventually we break apart. I kiss along the side of her face to find her ear. "Tonight, you're mine," I half-warn, half-promise. She jerks in my arms.
"I'm pregnant. Really pregnant?"
she answers, and her voice almost squeaks. She's acting so shy. My cock is crying to be inside of her right now. "And fucking beautiful," I tell her with a growl. I can't resist kissing the side of her neck, raking my teeth roughly against the skin and marking her. Not much, but enough. Her fingers bite into my back before she slowly pulls away and stands. She stares at me for a minute, and I wonder if she's going to say anything else. She wrings her hands nervously.
"You want some coffee?"
"I'm good," I tell her gruffly. "Fuck, I'm better than good."
"Devil?"
she asks, suddenly remembering there's more than just me and her in the room. "I'm good, sugar," he says, and she nods, gives me one last look, and then leaves the room. I watch her walk away. I couldn't pull my eyes away if I tried. "You are one lucky motherfucker," Devil says, and I grunt my reply, not exactly arguing with him. Right now, I agree. It's a strange feeling. "What are you doing here?" "About that," he says, and something in his voice alerts me, and I pull my eyes away from the now closed door to look at him. "There's been a mess at the club, Sunshine. I hate to leave you alone, but it seems quiet here, and I'm needed..." "What happened?" "Someone waylaid Diesel. He was coming back from Knoxville with his boy, and he says a cop was stopping traffic. Or he thought it was a cop. They knocked him out and took his son." "Fuck. Is it the same people who tried that shit before?" I growl, because Diesel's had this problem before. His fucking ex, Vicky, is always trying to take their child back. Ryan was born hooked on drugs, thanks to his mom. Diesel kicked her to the curb when he found out, and he's fought like hell to keep custody of his boy. He's managed, but it's been a battle. "We think so. Diesel remembers hearing Vicky's voice before he lost consciousness." "He okay?" "Someone fucked him up pretty good. Slammed him across the head with a steel pipe." "Fuck." "So as much as I love our time together, Sunshine, I need to be heading out. You going to be okay?" "Yeah, I'm good. I need anything, I know where you are." "Or you could call Skull. They still care about you, brother. Once family, always family," he says, reaching out his hand. I take it, even if part of me doesn't want to. He doesn't get it, maybe no one else will. But I've had too much taken from me. There's too much water under the bridge. My days as a Devil's Blaze patched member are over. Even if I could get past the anger, there are too many memories back at the clubhouse. Too many memories are attached to that life. And then there's Hayden. She'd never want to live as an old lady. She wouldn't want to go back to that world even if this club was different from the one that haunts her memories. What's more is, I wouldn't want to subject her to it. "Keep in touch, brother," I tell him, because I do like him, and maybe it's because he's not attached to my past. Whatever it is, he does feel like a brother. "Will do," he says as we grab hands and thump backs. He turns to leave before he goes out the door. He turns to look at me. "Keep your ass dry and your dick wet, Sunshine." Christ, I really don't understand why I like him. But I do.
Chapter 19. Hayden.
"Michael..."
"Hayden, don't," Michael responds, and I exhale a breath and try to still my hands, which are currently clasping each other tightly and resting on my really large stomach. What was I thinking? I can't have sex. I can't do this. "Michael, I... that is, we can't..." "Crap. I just don't think this is a good idea."
"It's going to happen, beauty. If not tonight, then tomorrow, or the next one, or a week from now. Either way, it's going to happen. Does it really matter when?"
My brow furrows at his words. Are you basically saying we might as well get it over with?
Quit trying to pick a fight, Hayden. I get you're nervous about this, but...
With good reason, I grumble back at him. In response, he gruels, which is what I've decided to call it when he grunts and growls at the same time. He moves his hand over his beard, like I've seen him do a million times. His eyes look up to the ceiling like he's praying for patience, and then he looks back at me.
Take off your dress.
You can't be upset. Wait, what?
Take off your dress, Hayden.
He orders. And it's definitely an order. There's no way you could mistake it for a request. He's also pulling his t-shirt over his head at the same time. I haven't seen him without a shirt in months. He's always kept one on, even when sleeping behind his pillow wall. Stop that. You can't get undressed. I stumble through the words, almost to the point of stuttering. If he strips, I know my feeble defenses will be dust.
I'm not fucking with clothes on, Hayden. Now get out of that dress.
I'm not taking my dress off. You can't... We can't do that. It's not possible, I respond. And I know I'm blushing. I can feel so much heat coming from my cheeks that it's a wonder I don't spontaneously combust.
Fine,
he answers with a shrug. I'm momentarily distracted because he's finished taking his shirt off, and when he moves his shoulders, I can't help but watch how the rest of him moves. His skin glistens on the side closest to me. His pecs move slowly, almost like a gentle dance, and his six-pack of abs all follow the same subtle movement. His side with the scarring is starkly different, but to me, no less beautiful. The scars make this swirling, angry pattern on him, but it doesn't detract from his looks. In fact, knowing the story of how he got them makes them almost tragically beautiful. I've never met a man in my life who would be willing to lay down his life for anyone. He must have loved his daughter so much. I wish I could have seen them together. My heart mourns his loss, but at the same time, I know a profound sadness for the fact that Annabelle, with the beautiful blue eyes, will never get to experience the love of a father like that. The kind of love every child should have. The kind I never got. The kind I pray Maggie gets to experience someday. Fine? I ask, trying to get out of the mini-trance that his body put me in. I'm letting my fingernails bite into the skin of my palm in an effort to try and help. It's not working, especially when my eyes drop down and his big hands are slowly unbuttoning his jeans. Sweet mercy, how can that simple thing be so hot and sexy? It gets better, though, when he unzips his pants. That's it. He doesn't take them off, but he unzips them. They slide low on his hips, and he's not wearing anything underneath. They gape open in the front. I can see curls of dark hair and a few inches of his hard shaft, with its ridges of veins pushing out against the darker skin. It's curved down, the remaining inches and head of his cock completely hidden by the dark denim of his jeans. My heart nearly stops and turns over in my chest, and I lick my lips as I imagine pulling his dick out and running my tongue along it. I've never done that. Blade wasn't an oral type of person, at least with me. He got plenty of blowjobs from the club girls. Not that I knew it at the time. With me, it was strictly hard and fast sex for him. It was never really good, to be honest. Being with Michael opened my eyes to a lot.
I'll just rip the dress off of you,
he grins. Like that's the most natural thing in the world. What? No, I like this dress, I tell him, fear suddenly pulling me out of the stupor I was in.
Hayden.
Michael, I'm not comfortable having sex. Not with being so far along in things, I tell him with complete honesty. He looks me over, and his forehead gets that little crinkle that it always gets when he's thinking about something.
Did the doctors tell you that you shouldn't have sex?
He asks, his voice going soft as his hand comes up to curl around the side of my neck. What?
No. I mean, I didn't ask them because you weren't in the picture and it didn't seem necessary. But they said everything was fine and to resume normal activities during my checkup last week. I guess sex is normal. I trail off when I watch the smile that moves over his face and nerves attack again. But I mean, I don't have long to go and...
Kiss me, beauty,
he interrupts, his voice dropping down low into my favorite timbre. My body takes that small step towards him without me even realizing it. The minute I do, his arms go around me. I feel them bite into the cheeks of my ass. My hands grasp his biceps, and my fingers bite into the rock-hard, solid flesh. I use the hold to steady myself while I try to pull myself from this magnetic hold he has on me. Michael, I'm not sure I forgive you yet.
But you want me,
he counters. And he's not wrong. We have so much between us still, Michael, I try again.
I know. Clothes,
he jokes. He actually jokes. His eyes sparkle with a mixture of heat, and I think I see a trace of happiness. Have I seen that in him before? Maybe a quick flash, but this is different. This feels different. I'm huge, I tell him, trying another tact as a Hail Mary, because everything inside of me is urging me to take what he's offering. I miss sex. No, that's wrong. I miss Michael.
You're perfect,
he corrects me, and something about the way his fingers are moving along my neck with his thumb brushing against the side of my face makes me believe him. You say that now, but what happens if I go into labor in the middle of, you know?
You said the doctor said you aren't due for another month now, right? Plus, it's your first baby. First time mothers always deliver late.
You have an answer for everything, don't you?
All but one thing,
he agrees, smile still in place. His hands slide to my back, and I can hear the sound of the zipper sliding down on my dress. He's unzipping it painfully slow, and with each inch he reveals, the heat in his eyes intensifies. My heart is pounding in my chest, and my mouth is dry.
I can't figure out why you're still dressed, beauty.
Don't hurt me, Michael, I plead as he finishes, and my dress begins falling off my shoulders. I hope he understands I'm not talking physically.
Chapter 20. Beast. Before I met Hayden, I had forgotten what it felt like to take clean air into my lungs. After she left, the darkness began slowly draining away all of the light she gave me. It was like taking away the sun. As I slowly back away from her and watch as her dress falls, revealing her body to me, I feel the light. I feel the warmth. Hayden is my son. Her dress falls, revealing her body to me. Maybe some men wouldn't find her sexy with her stomach tight, carrying a child. To me, she is the most beautiful woman in the world. Everything Hayden does is done with her heart. I look at her face. She's blushing a bright pink, and I see how nervous she is. She's practically broadcasting it. I need to take her mind away from the past, away from her being anything but the woman I want. I drop to my knees in front of her.
Michael, what are you...
She stops talking when I kiss her stomach. She bites into her lip as if to keep more words from coming out. I let my hands brush against the sides and kiss it again, right along the navel. My hands on her skin look wrong, too dark to her light, too scarred for her milky white complexion. So beautiful, Hayden. You, like this, you're performing a miracle, giving life to a child, nurturing it with your body, and you're doing it with joy. You are a true beauty. I love everything about you. I whisper against her stomach. I move my hands down to her hips, hooking my fingers under the rim of her panties. Michael, she breathes softly, nerves still thickly laced in her voice. I kiss down her stomach until I reach the blue, silky material covering her from me. I place a kiss against the fabric, right at her center.
I can't stop myself from inhaling and taking the scent of her excitement into my lungs. Are you wet for me, Beauty? I ask her, already knowing she is. She whimpers without giving me an answer, but then none was needed. I can see evidence of it by the deeper hue on her panties. Unable to wait to see more, I grab the lacy strip of material that runs across her hips and rip it in half. One more tear, and I'm able to pull them clean from her body, all with her standing still. I growl out at what I reveal. It sounds like a bear when its mate is in view. The lips of Hayden's pussy are plump and shining with her sweet liquid. She's not just wet for me. She's drenched. Perfect, I mumble, barely containing my hunger. My hands hold her hips, so large compared to her that they span her hip and thigh easily, while my fingers dig roughly into the lush skin of her ass. I pull her body into me, using my tongue to slide against her lips and push inside of her.
Michael,
she whispers. Her fingers wrap tightly in my hair, pulling my tongue deeper inside of her. I bring my hand down to open her further. I flatten my tongue out and leisurely slide it slowly across her pussy, beginning to end. I gather her juices as I go, not stopping until I reach her clit. She has haunted me these past months. I've lived and relived every single detail I've shared with her, but somehow her sweet, velvety taste is better than I remembered. I groan as I swallow it down, and the flavor of her coats my mouth.
Michael, it's been too long. I can't. I need to come, baby.
She exhales the words out. They're quiet but emotional. They float down to me. I doubt she has any idea the gift she's giving me. It's more than her body. It's the fact that it's me her body craves. Her quiet voice calling me baby, her hands in my hair, the reaction she had in the store to that woman. All of it. It's like food to a starving man. I once thought Hayden taught me to breathe again. Now I know the truth. She's teaching me to live. Only I don't want to do it without her. I can't. I won't try. Not again. I suck her clit into my mouth using my tongue to dance across it, tease it, to fucking own it. Hayden leans heavily into me, her legs all but bending as she cries out. I want to see her, but there's no way I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I need her coming all over my face. I take my hand that's still pulling one side of her juicy little cunt and move my fingers down in search of her entrance. I make sure they're slick with her cum, and I push two of them inside of her. I don't go far, just up to my knuckles. I've forgotten how fucking tight she is, and the way she instantly clamps down to ride the hell out of my fingers. I need my cock in her. God, I need her strangling my shaft as she comes. I pull away, just for a second, long enough to look up at her face. Her head is thrown back, with her hair falling down in waves behind her like a waterfall. Her lips are parted and she's moaning my name over and over, so quietly I didn't realize it till just now. The sight causes that familiar pang to hit my chest. I didn't appreciate it before. I do now. I own Hayden's body. She's given it to me. She's mine. Come for me, beauty, I growl, needing to give her more pleasure, needing to remind her not to give up on me. The only way I can. I push my fingers in deeper, pulling them apart, readying her for our next round, because there's no way I'll be able to stop with just this. I need her too much. I suck her clit into my mouth, capturing it between my teeth, all while my fingers are fucking her relentlessly. She explodes the minute I put the slightest pressure on her clit, bathing me in her cum. I was right. She is teaching me to live. This is the first time I've felt my heart beat freely in months.
Chapter 21. Hayden.
I feel like I'm floating. It takes me a minute to realize that I'm in Michael's arms and he's carrying me towards the bedroom. I should stop this. I won't survive if he lashes out at me again, but I don't want to stop it. The only two things I want in this world are Maggie and Michael. I shove the fear aside and curl into his arms, kissing his shoulder. I'm surprised when he brings his head down to kiss the top of my head.
It makes me smile. I touch his soft beard, letting my fingertips disappear into the dark hair. I find the spot he always scratches and find the dark groove of the scar there. I let my fingers dance over the ridge carefully. I feel a tremor run through his body. For a moment, I'm worried that I've upset him, and I start to take my hand away. Sorry, I whisper.
I like it,
he grunts out, and the deep sound of hunger in his voice can't be denied, so I continue playing. When we get to the bed, he lays me on it like I'm something extremely valuable and precious. It seems like irony that he lays beside our wall of pillows, one that obviously didn't work well. He throws them on the ground impatiently and then straightens to look down at me.
You're beautiful, Hayden,
he says again, and I grin, thinking he's starting to sound like a broken record. I realize he's doing it to make me believe it. I'm not sure that's ever going to be possible, but the thing is, when he says it, I'm starting to believe he thinks it. Is it all right to admit I'm nervous about this, despite what just happened?
Do you want me to stop?
No, I tell him, unable to articulate any further because all the things I want to say are clogged inside of me. I can't say them to him because it might make me sound like a fool or end in me begging him to love me.
I'll be gentle, beauty. We'll go as slow and as easy as you want. I need to be a part of you again,
he confesses, his eyes never leaving my face. I might have been able to resist anything else. Maybe. But the way he says that unleashes something inside of me, something that has been holding me back from giving myself to Michael fully. What woman could remain strong when the man she's in love with tells her he needs to be part of her? This is deeper than just sex. I want that too, I tell him, my voice heavy with emotion, and the moment so important to me that I can feel tears forming. Being pregnant makes me cry at the drop of a hat, but this is more. This is important. My breath stalls as he pushes his pants from his hips. They were already hanging so low, you could see a dark thatch of hair. But when they fall from him, they reveal just how amazing he is. Even scarred, he still reminds me of a Greek god. All hard lines and perfectly defined areas that are this golden hue, as if the sun has kissed every inch of him. His scars never bothered me, except that I know they were painful for him. How any woman could look upon them and not love them, especially since they are a symbol of the type of man he is beyond me. Right now, I can't devote time to even thinking about them, because I'm suddenly remembering how huge Michael is, and how being with him might be challenging right now.
I'll be gentle,
he confirms again, and I think that means my fear shows on my face. I try to swallow it down. I know Michael would never hurt me. Not like that. He's always been gentle with me, even in the heat of sex. I know, I assure him. And I do. He gets on the bed, instantly positioning himself over me. Michael's the only man in the world that would make me feel small, especially right now. I watch as he sits back on his knees between my legs. He takes his shaft in his hand, and I have to bite my lip to keep from moaning out at the erotic picture he makes. He strokes himself slowly, looking down at my body as if I'm a prize from a war he has waged. My body thrusts up toward his, almost against my own will. I can't look away as I watch pre-cum gather on the massive head of his cock.
Hungry, beauty, he half laughs.
He has no idea. Not really. In answer, I use my legs to pull myself down on the bed a little, pulling myself closer to him. I bend my knees, keeping my legs spread wide to allow him room. In response, a smile spreads on his face, causing that crinkle I adore around his eyes.
That's my girl,
he murmurs, right before he moves the head of his cock against my pussy. I cry out. There is no way I could stop it when the head of his shaft slides against my clit. back and forth, and then down to my entrance. He pushes just the head of his cock inside, and somehow it only emphasizes how empty I am without him. "Please, Michael," I beg. "Stop teasing me."
"Give me your hand,"
he orders, and his voice is so gruff, so full of hunger, that it's just as erotic as what he's doing to my body. I look up, and his face is intense. I reach out to him, and his hand connects with mine. Our palms meet, and his heat instantly invades my body. His fingers thread through mine, and we join hands at the exact time he pushes in, joining our bodies. "God, yes. I've missed you, Michael."
"Don't let me go too far, Hayden,"
he says. And it's then that I realize he's inside of me, but not as deep as when we were first together. He's holding back to protect me, to protect Maggie. It can't be easy for him, either. If anything was left of that feeble wall I tried to keep between us, this just destroyed it. I feel him moving in and out of me, and I start to reassure him I'm fine, but then I see the moment he starts to go over the edge. He begins moving in me faster and faster. His other hand comes down to find my clit, and I shatter. I feel him follow me, feel his cum stream inside of me in a steady flow of heat, and I grip his hand tighter, cry out his name. In this moment, the best thing I've ever heard in my life is Michael calling my name out in answer. I was a fool to think I could ever give him up.
Chapter 22. Beast. I stretch, feeling completely relaxed. I had forgotten what sleeping next to Hayden was like. Well, at least sleeping after being inside of her. I took her again last night, but I tried my best to be gentle. I tried not to hurt her. She promised I didn't, but I'm worried I should have held off that second time. It's just her body is so goddamn soft, and she's so responsive. Fuck. She was still half asleep when I took her that last time. I don't know if she remembers it. I can't even be sure she'll remember the way she kissed the scars along the side of my face afterwards, or told me she loved me. She may not remember, but I will never forget. I look over to find her still sleeping. Her hair is fanned out against the white pillow, and in sleep her face looks innocent, like a small child's. I can't resist bending down to kiss her forehead. I don't want to wake her, but I'm starved. I slide off the bed as quietly as I can. She mumbles a little in her sleep, but doesn't wake. I adjust the sheet on Hayden's sleeping body, and then leave her. I pull the door together and use the guest bathroom to clean up. I need a shower, but I don't want to wash Hayden off my body yet. I want her scent on me for a little while longer. Then I go into the kitchen. If that fucking stroker can cook for Hayden, I can damn well manage to fix breakfast. How hard could it be? It's only a fucking hour and a half later that I realize how stupid my words were. An hour and a half, a dozen ruined eggs, and two packs of burnt bacon later, I walk back into the bedroom feeling like an idiot. Hayden is awake. She's showered and dressed in a blue slip dress. She looks beautiful, but I don't like that she washed me off her body. I'll have to fix that soon. "What's this?" she asks when I walk in. She's wearing a smile, but I'm sure I see worry etched on her face. I need to work on getting rid of that. She still doesn't trust me completely, and who can blame her after what I put her through? But since getting her back in my life, the anger has softened. I can find a way to survive this life as long as she's with me. I have to. I put the tray down on the bed beside her. "Breakfast," I tell her, disgusted with myself that I couldn't manage to fix breakfast for her. She looks down at the white paper bag with a raised eyebrow. "You went out?" she asks, pulling the styrofoam containers from the bag. "The dairy bar down the street delivers. I was going to serve you breakfast in bed, but I guess since you're awake..."
"How about we have it at the table and I pour us some orange juice?"
"Milk. I want milk. There are blueberry muffins in the kitchen." I agree, helping her up and taking the bag from her.
"Saw those, did you?"
"Ate two of them.
I tell her and get rewarded with her laughter. I forgot how much you liked those. I'll make a new batch before going into the bakery this evening.
Your muffins could bring a man to his knees, beauty.
Just what every girl wants to hear, she jokes.
I think we've already seen that you have other things that bring me to my knees. I tell her and enjoy watching the embarrassment tint her face. I like it almost as much as I like watching her ass move against that dress as I follow her into the kitchen.
Chapter 23. Hayden. I'm feeling ungrateful. Don't get me wrong. Eating breakfast with Michael after a wonderful night of being in his arms, of being close to him again, is amazing. Except in my head, I was hoping for more. Last night, it felt like we had broken through walls. I thought this morning that everything would be different. Michael said he loved everything about me in the heat of the moment. Did he mean it? In my heart, I was hoping to hear him say, I love you, not everything about me. It just... I sigh, stopping my morose thoughts. It feels like nothing has changed. I woke up alone, not in Michael's arms, and that seems to be a reoccurring theme in my life. I hate that I expected more from Michael than what he's giving. I hate that I'm not satisfied with how great this is right now.
You okay, beauty?
He asks, and the simple question, along with the concern on his face, only intensifies my guilt. Just enjoying my eggs and bacon. You didn't have to do this, you know. I had eggs and bacon here. I could have...
You had...
He mutters, before taking another bite of his own food. Huh?
I burned them.
But I had...
A lot. Yeah, I know. We'll have to go to the store. Beauty, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think I can cook.
He looks so disgusted with himself that I can't stop laughing.
I don't think it's that funny,
he says, his voice gruff. I do my best to contain my amusement. Michael, it's sweet that you tried, but really...
It shouldn't be that damn hard. Fuck, if Stroker can cook, I should be able to, too. But damn it, those eggs were defective, Hayden.
I laugh again, because really, his outrage is hilarious.
I'm not lying. All I had to do was touch one of them, and it crumbled. Most of the time, I couldn't even get the damn things into the pan, and if I did... Hell, there were so many fucking shells that I had to throw it all out. And the bacon. Jesus H. Christ.
That's it. My laughter takes over to the point I have tears running down my face, and I can't even pretend to sympathize anymore. When Michael grunts at me and gives me an insulted look, I laugh even harder.
You need to be spanked more often,
he grumbles. We can discuss that later if you want. I tell him, before I can stop myself.
We sure as hell will,
he answers immediately. This time, he's the one wearing the smirk. I can feel my cheeks heat and decide it's time to divert the conversation. Why do you want to cook like Clive anyway?
Because he cooked for you,
he grumbles again, refusing to look me in the eye. So? And I think I know what he's getting at, but I'm not sure. I want him to admit it.
When you think about a man taking care of you, Hayden, that man should be me,
he answers, managing somehow to make all those words sound like one long grunt. My heart stutters. Michael, you do take care of me. You did last night. You're the only man I ever want to take care of me.
I'm not just talking about sex, Hayden.
I smile. I can't help it. It's not him saying, I love you, but it's close. I reach over and grab his hand. I let my finger move over the indentation of the scar. I was too, Michael, I tell him honestly.
I'm sorry I pushed you away, Hayden. I'm sorry I hurt you. I want to make it up to you.
Finally. Will this be the moment he says he loves me? My heartbeat quickens. I need to hear that from him. Michael, I'd like to...
What was that?
What? I ask, confused at seeing the concern on his face.
Didn't you hear that voice?
Huh? Michael, are you okay?
Do you smell that?
He asks, and I inhale. At first, I don't notice anything. Then, beneath the lingering smell of burned bacon and takeout, I smell it. Strawberries. I smelled that before. That day in the shop when the gunman came in. What is that? I ask, confused. Michael looks around, not answering me. Then he yells,
Get down, Hayden.
What are you talking about? I am down, I tell him, wondering if there's something more wrong with him than I knew. I'm sitting down at the table, and he can clearly see that. Before I can question him further, he stands up and rushes toward me. I hear the window behind me shatter just as Michael gets to me. He bends over, completely covering me. He tucks my head into his chest. My heart is in my throat. I hear more glass break, and then I feel Michael's body jerk. Michael, what's going on? I cry, my words muffled against him.
I need you to move with me and get under the table. I want you to stay there until I get back,
he tells me, and he's already moving me where he wants me. What's going on? I ask, afraid I already know. A sick feeling hits my stomach. We're being shot at. Is it Blade?
I'm going to find out, Beauty, but I need you to stay here. Promise me.
He tells me, and I nod my head yes, because there's nothing else I can do. Be careful, I whisper when he goes to leave. He doesn't answer because he's already running out the door. I'm left cowering under the table, feeling physically ill. Please be okay, I silently pray. Please.
Chapter 24. Beast. My shoulder stings like hell. I reach behind me as I leave the kitchen, finding a large piece of glass that's lodged there. I yank it out with a growl. Someone fucking shot at Hayden. If I hadn't got her down when I did, it would have hit her. What the fuck is going on? Blade is a stupid fucker, sure. He's an idiot. I don't see him trying to kill her, though. Not with the baby still inside of her. At least, I didn't think he would. Jesus, maybe he's more of a sick, twisted fuck than I gave him credit for. The shot came from the right of the house. I locked the kitchen door, hopefully leaving Hayden safe inside. I didn't want to leave her, but I can't keep us there like sitting ducks either. I pull my gun out that I grabbed from the holster I had lying on the kitchen counter. I take off the safety and begin walking around the side of the house. Just as I hit the corner of the house, turning slowly so I can surprise whoever the fuck it is, I hear a vehicle start up. I stop trying to be slow now. I take off running. I see the back end of a fucking pickup and it's fishtailing, trying to get away. I shoot through the back windshield, trying to kill the motherfucker. The glass shatters, but the shot goes wide. I then try to shoot the tires. The back one blows, and I know a moment of victory. The asshole doesn't stop, however. He just lays on the gas, ignoring the pieces of tire that tear away from the rim and spit out in all different directions. I run as fast as I can, but ever since the explosion, running is not something I do easily. My leg has lost muscle mass, and the scarring causes tightness and loss of feeling. I'm left standing in the middle of the street, staring at the truck. It's swerving like crazy and barely misses several other cars on the street. Sparks are flying from the rim, which is now serving as the tire. I jog, because by this time the pain is causing me to hop to my truck. I start it up, and I'm backing out of the driveway when I hear that voice again. The same voice that told me when Hayden was in trouble the other day, and the same voice that told me to get Hayden away from the window today. Hayden needs you. The voice